everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's January 2019, and you're listening to episode 104, Unpacking Anime's Thematic and Spiritual Depth. On this episode, I'm joined by Jason Moorhead, who is a blogger who frequently writes about anime for the website opuszine.us. He's also an editor for the online magazine ChristinPopCulture.com. Jason wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Unpacking Anime's Thematic and Spiritual Depth, and it's free online at our website, equip.org. Jason, it's good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first, I want you just to explain for some people that might not know, what is anime?
Well, the simplest definition of anime is just animation that is produced in Japan. It's oftentimes paired with the term manga, which is Japanese comic books. But you'll also see anime used to describe Western titles that might have an anime influence. Their aesthetic might be influenced by anime. But by and large, anime, when someone says anime, they're specifically referring to animated titles that were produced in Japan for primarily Japanese audiences.
So how did you in particular discover anime? And I will say that I have two kids and they love anime, so they're big fans of it.
So I first really got into anime in high school. This would be back in like the early to mid 90s. And at that time, anime was still very much a niche thing. It didn't have nearly the cultural presence that it does today here in America. So you couldn't just go into like a, well, I mean, this was when Blockbuster and Hollywood Video were still a thing. You couldn't really go into video rental stores and find it very easily. But I had some friends in high school who belonged to various fan communities, trading VHS tapes, doing fan subtitles, that kind of thing. And they were the ones who first really introduced me to anime. And then from there, it just kind of grew. And then especially in college with the advent of the web, this would be back about 98, 99. One of the first things I did when I discovered the web was trying to find more anime titles and finding out, just reading more about anime directors and what was just available out there.
Anime has gone a little bit more mainstream. For example, you can see anime series on Hulu and Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I also want to mention to our listeners, because you mentioned manga, and some animes are based on these comic books from Japan, that we have an article on our website about manga, and people can access that free online at equip.org. And our article is called Gross National Cool Manga as Theological Reflection. And then we also have a little bit of a sidebar article called More to Manga as well, that people can look that up. But what are some of the anime titles that you talk about in your article and that people should definitely check out? I know that there's different subgenres of anime, so I want you to talk to our listeners about those as well.
So when you talk about anime and recommended titles, probably the first name that arguably that almost always comes up is a man named Hayao Miyazaki. He is without a doubt the most celebrated anime director probably of all time. And he formed a studio called Studio Ghibli, which has released films like My Neighbor Totoro, Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, Ponyo. And a lot of the recent films have received theatrical releases here in the States. In fact, Spirited Away won an Oscar for Best Animated Feature. So the name Studio Ghibli is usually one of the first names that comes up with anime. And all of the Studio Ghibli films are very delightful. The wonderful thing about Studio Ghibli films is that, especially Hayao Miyazaki's films, is that they're wonderful animated titles in and of themselves, but there's a lot of depth to them. He's a wonderful storyteller, and he often works in very complex themes into his stories that, especially I think we as Christians can certainly resonate with. In the article, I mentioned one called Princess Mononoke, which is probably his darkest film. It's set in feudal Japan, and so there's samurai battles and forest spirits, and it kind of starts off as the sort of man versus nature sort of film. But it becomes very morally complicated, almost surprisingly so. Another kind of the opposite end of the spectrum is a director named Mamoru Oshii, who is best known for his work in the Ghost in the Shell franchise, which is sort of a very hard sci-fi kind of cyberpunk Blade Runner type series of films that are quite a bit more mature than Miyazaki's films, but are also very philosophical and very thought-provoking when it comes to issues like technology and how technology influences our lives and impacts us as human beings. They're also very action-oriented and very, it can be kind of a bit graphic in places. So they represent two very opposite kind of ends of the spectrum in terms of anime, but are both very acclaimed, very celebrated directors in their own right. Another series that I mentioned in my article is a series called Haibane Renmei, which is a very delightful kind of fairy tale-ish sort of anime that kind of, I would say, veers more towards the Studio Ghibli end of the spectrum. But it's very interesting, especially I think for Christian audiences, because it really, it kind of keeps you guessing, but it it kind of delves into some very interesting ideas about the effects of sin on people's lives and how the overall storyline is very ambiguous, but there are these moments where characters get into these very interesting, almost theological discussions about sin and existence and how, and what their fate is, and that kind of makes what starts off as a very, like I said, kind of a whimsical fairy tale story, takes into some very interesting spiritual, into some very interesting spiritual directions. I would not say it's a Christian anime by any means. It's not very, it's not that blatant, but it is very thought provoking and it's a very intriguing storyline.
Now, I know that recently there was a major motion picture film of Ghost in the Shell, so I don't know that people would want to confuse that with the actual anime that you're talking about. Right. And I didn't see that film, so I don't know if it's any good.
It is. There was some controversy with it because it casts Scarlett Johansson in the lead role of, and so there was some controversy about it sort of whitewashing the characters. It's okay. I didn't care for it too much myself. I'd much rather stick with the anime. And it should be noted the Ghost in the Shell franchise is actually very wide ranging. There are several feature films, but there's also several TV series. One's called Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, which I highly recommend. It's a bit more accessible than the movies. It's kind of a bit more straightforward action, but it also weaves in these themes of how technology impacts lives as technology becomes increasingly pervasive through artificial intelligence or, you know, cybernetics or advanced computer technology. And as technology becomes increasingly pervasive in our lives, what effect does that have on us as human beings? What is it, effect does it do to our souls in a sense? But on the flip side, I also ask really interesting questions about as we make technology that's increasingly advanced through like artificial intelligence and cybernetics and robotics, what obligation, what responsibility do we have with the technology that we create? So it's a really interesting mix of, you got these really cool action sequences that are just really exciting to watch, mixed in with these kind of very interesting ideas and discussions about technology that I think are very relevant to our day and age.
So anime has roots, like you were saying, in Japan. So what do people, especially Westerners, people in the West, need to know about anime before they, you know, just kind of for their information before they start watching some of these different series?
So I would say that when I first started getting into anime, the biggest surprise to me was the wide variety of subject matter. You know, here in the West, we have a bias towards animation as primarily stuff for family entertainment, primarily stuff marketed towards kids. And while that's changed a little bit with like the Pixar films that, you know, we'll sneak in some stuff that is more, resonates more with adult audiences than children, here in the West, we still think of, first and foremost, animation as primarily for kids. Japan, in Japan, that is not the case at all. And so you can find, there's certainly lots of anime that is geared towards younger audiences, but you can find anime that covers all kinds of subject matter, from, you know, very innocent stuff to very graphic, very disturbing stuff. And that really kind of threw me for a loop. This is kind of a a funny little story, but I was watching an anime that I brought from a friend of mine, and I was watching it in our living room when my parents were home. And, you know, it was like, I thought it was just going to be kind of a cool little sci-fi movie. And within like 10 minutes, there was a shower scene, which I just was not expecting at all. And so I would, if people are getting into anime, they definitely need to research and not just assume, oh, I'm going to watch this on Netflix and it's going to be acceptable for all audiences. And that's just not the case. And I think that while that can certainly mean that you come across anime that is very problematic in terms of like sex or nudity or violence, it also means that you can find some very provocative and very thoughtful stories that are told in anime that you just wouldn't see anywhere else, that they can, through the medium of animation itself, that are a lot more interesting than you might give the medium of animation credit for if you were just, if all you knew were Western, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, that kind of stuff.
You're listening to Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Jason Moorhead, and he wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Unpacking Anime's Thematic and Spiritual Depth, and it's free online at a website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles like his, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, visit our website, equip.org. You were just talking about when you were first, like in high school, coming across more mature themes in Japanese anime as compared to, like, you know, Western, you said Saturday morning cartoons, mm-hmm. or Disney films, that kind of things. Mm-hmm. So are there anime titles that Christians should check out? Because that would probably be of concern to some people who mm-hmm. would not want to watch anything that's graphic or inappropriate.
Certainly. So probably the safest bet in anime are Studio Ghibli films that I mentioned before. My Neighbor Totoro, Spirited Away, Ponyo. These films, I think, are very safe for most family. I watch them all with my kids, and we all love them. There are some Studio Ghibli titles that get a little on the darker side, like Princess Mononoke. But by and large, they're very wonderful stories. They have very complex characters. One thing I really like about Studio Ghibli films, and especially Hayao Miyazaki's films, is that his female characters are very well drawn, no pun intended. And as someone who, as a father of a young daughter, I really like watching his movies because they have very strong female protagonists and also very interesting storylines, very humanistic storylines in the sense that his characters are all very complicated. They're very interesting. They're not just these simple caricatures that you sometimes see in Western animation where it's obvious this is the hero, this is the villain. The storylines get a little more complicated than that. Which I find really refreshing. I also mentioned earlier Haibane Renmei. I think Christian audiences would find that really interesting. And it is, I don't think there's really any graphic content in it at all. It's much more like one of the Studio Ghibli titles. A more recent title that I think would be of interest to Christian viewers, and this one gets a little bit more on the mature side, it's called Death Parade. And it was, it came out, I think, in 2015. So it's pretty new. And I think you can watch it on Hulu if you have a subscription there. But it's a really interesting story in that it's set in the afterlife. And although it's not at all a Christian afterlife, the story is all about people coming to terms with the sins that they've committed. And how do you judge sin? And how do you weigh that? And like I said, it's dealing with those from a very Eastern mindset, so it's not at all like Orthodox Christianity. But I don't want to spoil anything, but I'll just say that at the end of the show, I came away with a renewed appreciation that as a Christian, I have a Savior who knows my human flaws and who has been tempted in the ways that I've been tempted and knows my human frailties and is not some sort of abstract higher being who doesn't know anything about human struggle. It was really interesting to watch that series and kind of come to that conclusion. And so I think that one is, and I've written about that series on Christ and pop culture. And I think that can lead to some really interesting discussions just about how we view the afterlife and different perceptions of the afterlife. And how do you judge, like how are sins judged and what, you know, what is sin and how does that affect us both in this world and in the world to come. Another anime that I think would be interesting for Christians to watch is a series called Kids on the Slope. And it's actually a kind of like a coming of age melodrama, kind of set in a Japanese high school. I think it's set in the 60s or 70s. But it actually features two of the main characters are Christians in the series. And while none of these characters, you know, launch into a discussion about Jesus or Christianity anytime, it is interesting to see Christianity portrayed in a very organic sense in an animated title. And to see animated characters kind of go to church and live out sort of a Christian life, and in contrast to their non-Christian Japanese neighbors. It's not a major part of the anime, but it is interesting to see Christianity portrayed that way in an anime.
I know there are a lot of different anime series about high school life, and I know my kids have enjoyed some that are just about sports team. One's about kids who are bicycle racing, and another one's about volleyball. I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but I do want to recommend to our listeners also a Miyazaki film called The Wind Rises, which is about World War II. So that's not usually something, a subject matter that you think of would be covered for in animation. But you were mentioning just some of the different themes that are brought up in anime. And so I want to ask you, how does anime treat Christianity and religion in general? I will say that specifically, I think in a lot of Miyazaki films, there's a lot of Japanese Shinto concepts that come out in it. And I do think because so many people are fans of his films, and especially younger generation love watching anime, that it's a real good springboard to use as an apologetics tool to open up conversations about some of those spiritual issues.
I'll say, like, one thing I really appreciate about Miyazaki's films and, you know, Studio Ghibli films is that you're right. A lot of them are coming from a place of, you know, obviously they're Japanese films, and so they're going to be influenced by Shintoism and Buddhism, but they're never preachy about it. They're just part of the environment of the film. And so that's one thing I really appreciate about his films, that they're just very naturalistic in that regard. And yes, they have a lot of Shinto influences, but he never uses it as a soapbox to preach Shintoism or anything. It's just part of the background. As far as how anime treats Christianity and religion in general, I think Japan is predominantly non-Christian. I think Christians make up maybe 2-3% of the Japanese population, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it's like 1% of, and the Christian Witness has been in Japan for many hundreds of years. And I think since the 1100s, I'd want to say. And I think it's 1% that are Christians. And of that 1%, in terms of how the demographers consider it, that includes everything. So even things like not just evangelical Christians or Protestant Christians, but also Roman Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, anything that is not related to Japanese religion that is even remotely what they would quote unquote consider Christian is put in there. So it's extremely small amount of the population.
So yeah, so it's definitely a minority. And so, you know, I think Christian aspects have a certain, there's a fascination about them in Japanese culture. You know, like we have friends who are missionaries in Japan, and they talk about how a lot of Japanese, they want to have two weddings. They want to have a, you know, a traditional Japanese wedding, but they also want to have a church wedding because there's something very exotic about that. And I think there's something similar about that in anime. Oftentimes when Christian, you know, Judeo-Christian elements appear in anime, it's often in a very fanciful manner, in a very exotic manner. One of the best examples of this is a series called Neon Genesis Evangelion, which is a very famous and influential mecha anime with, you know, the giant robots. And there is a lot of Judeo-Christian imagery and references throughout that series. The tree of the Sephiroth from Kabbalah figures prominently. There's a lot of references to kind of esoteric Catholic ideas. And you watch this, and especially as a Christian, I'm watching this and thinking, what are they doing with this? Are they poking fun at Christianity? Are they using, what are they doing with it? And I read an interview with the producer of the series where he said they put all that stuff in there just to make it seem more exotic to Japanese audiences, that they didn't have an agenda, a religious agenda. It was just one way to make the series stand out from all of the other mecha anime. Same thing with the series Haibane Renmei that I mentioned earlier. So in Haibane Renmei, the main characters all have an angelic appearance. They have halos, they have wings, kind of this traditional angel imagery. And I read an interview with the creator of the series, and he said that he had no particular religious agenda. He just drew them as angels because he thought it added an interesting look to the series. And so, you know, it's kind of analogous, ironically, to how, like, oftentimes in Western movies or TV shows, they want to have someone who seems very philosophical. They might have the token Asian character who is like the Zen Buddhist who is very philosophical and very wise and offers the sage advice, and it makes the series seem a little more exotic. I think that is oftentimes the case in anime when it comes to Western religions, specifically Christianity. Now, there are series like Kids on the Slope, which I mentioned before, that do integrate Christianity in a bit more of an organic, natural way, where you have characters who are Christians and live out their faith in just everyday life. And it's not really a major aspect of the plot, but it's just there as just part of the world of the anime title. But those are few and far between. Oftentimes when you see non-Japanese religions presented, it is often in a very almost exaggerated form, in a very fantastical, very exotic way. And like I said, oftentimes if you do some research and read into it, it's done that way just to make the series seem a little more exotic to the Japanese audiences, because that's who anime is for. Anime is primarily for Japanese audiences first, and it's meant to appeal to Japanese audiences first and Western audiences second. So I think that's one thing to keep in mind. And there are anime that are very critical of Christianity and religion in general. They have a very almost sometimes a very nihilistic view of religion, a very misanthropic view. So it runs the gamut. But by and large, it's going to be very, in my experience, it tends to be very a bit more exaggerated, a bit more exotic, a bit more fanciful, just to kind of spice things up in the series.
One of the series that you mentioned in the article is Attack on Titan. Mm-hmm. So I think the question is going to be, how do you address the fact that there's so much graphic content in anime? You mentioned mm-hmm. it a little bit earlier. And specifically that series, I mean, it's very violent. And mm-hmm. so if our readers checked out the first episode, they might be, I don't understand why you're writing about this particular right. series.
Well, you know, whenever you're coming into talking about problematic content in any medium, you know, whether it's anime, movies, books, you know, a lot of this does come down to a matter of conscience. And so, you know, when I recommend titles and anime titles, I need to be very conscious of who I'm recommending them to and just realize that people have different thresholds for what is going to be problematic for them, what's going to be a stumbling block for them. Certain things that I find very problematic, you know, I know Christians for whom that is not problematic. And so I think there needs to be a measure of grace involved in this. That being said, I would say that if you are first venturing into anime, it behooves you to do some research. And there are some very good websites out there. I think I mentioned some in the article that I wrote that are good for providing you with information about the anime and about the content. And that just the fact that there is graphic content in anime, I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier about how in Japan, there's just not that bias that animated titles should only be for kids. There's never really been that. And same thing with comic books. You can find the same wide range of subject matter in comic books. You can find comic books or manga titles that are geared towards young kids, that are geared towards housewives, that are geared towards sports fans, that are geared towards businessmen. It runs the gamut. So I think at the very beginning, if you're first starting into it, you need to do some research. You cannot just assume that, this is going to be just like a Pixar movie, because it's just not going to be. There's a good chance that it's just not going to be. You're going to see something that is going to kind of throw you for a loop a bit. There's also just different cultural taboos in Japanese culture. You know, this is not necessarily a graphic scene, but one thing that might throw people for a loop if they watch My Neighbor Totoro is that you have a scene of families bathing together. And it's just treated, and that's a very natural thing in Japanese culture of, you know, the public bathhouses and people you know, families bathing together. And so in here in the West, obviously, you know, that's just not quite as common. And so for people watching even like a Miyazaki film, which is going to be definitely on the more safer end of the spectrum, generally speaking, there are going to be scenes like that, that I think if you're not aware of certain aspects of Japanese culture, it's going to be kind of a little eye-opening for you. Within the context of the film, it's a perfectly natural, it's actually a very delightful scene of this family kind of spending time together and having fun together. And it's this very sweet, very heartwarming scene. It just happens to be that you've got this whole family taking a bath together. Once you look past that, I think it's easier to appreciate what's going on in the scene.
I think the first time I saw My Neighbor Totoro, I thought it was not what I expected. I think you're right. I was expecting something like a Disney film or a Pixar film. And there were sad things about it. There were fantastical things. There were stretches of the film that had no dialogue that were just kind of psychedelic and odd. And I don't know what I was expecting exactly. So it was my first foray into anime, even though I'm Japanese. But what are some things, finally, that people can learn about Japanese culture from anime? And I do think that's just kind of a window into their culture for sure.
Yeah. So I would want to caution people a little bit with wanting to learn about Japanese culture through anime, because it's sort of like how I want to caution people who want to learn about America through Hollywood. You know, what you see in anime or any sort of entertainment medium, it's going to be exaggerated. And, you know, just like I wouldn't want someone to learn about or make assumptions about American culture because they see the latest Hollywood blockbuster, you know, I don't think it's quite fair to say, like, oh, because I watch lots of anime, I suddenly know everything there is to know about Japanese culture. Because you're seeing just a very exaggerated view of the culture through anime. That being said, one of the things that I've always found fascinating about Japanese culture is there's this phrase in Japanese, mano no aware, and it roughly translates into as the sadness of things. And it's this idea of being aware of the sort of the fragile nature of existence, sort of this gentle melancholy of being aware of life's ephemeralness. And I think you see that play out a lot in a lot of anime, especially you definitely see it play out in a lot of Miyazaki films. There's, like you mentioned in My Neighbor Totoro, there are a lot of kind of sad scenes in there. There's some melancholy to it. Miyazaki's fellow director was Isao Takahata. The two of them started Studio Ghibli. And unfortunately, sadly, Takahata died not too long ago, but he directed a wonderful film called Only Yesterday, which is it's a film about a young woman who is growing up and she's kind of reflecting on her life, and she's trying to figure out who she's in her 20s, and she's trying to figure out who she wants to be as an adult. And a lot of the film is her reflecting on her childhood. And it's a very beautiful film. It's a very touching film, but it's also the whole idea of the film is reflecting on your life and reflecting on not just the good, but also the bad. And she reflects on all the ways that she kind of, the failures that she experienced as a child and the heartbreak that she experienced as a child. And so it's this very, it's not your typical coming of age, you know, it's not a comedy, it's not a drama. It's just this very kind of gently melancholy film about growing up that, I think, a really good example of the diversity of subject matter that you find in anime, where, you know, most people probably assume, when they come to anime, they probably identify anime as, you know, the stuff you see on Hulu and Netflix. That's going to be much more of the action and much more of the over-the-top stuff. And here you've got a very gentle, very bittersweet, but very moving film about just becoming an adult that is... it has that mano no aware sense to it of just being aware of the fragility of life and trying to appreciate that. There's also a lot of anime that are inspired by Japanese historical events. I mentioned one in my article, Rurouni Kenshin, which is set during the samurai era. And even though it's a very fantastical, it's a martial arts series, and so there's a lot of over-the-top action scenes and whatnot, it is very heavily rooted in Japanese history and was set in the era when the samurai were losing power and kind of going out of style and the influx of Western influences. And So that's a very interesting one to watch because, yeah, it's very over the top and lots of crazy action and crazy comedy and whatnot. But there is a lot of historical aspects to it. You just kind of need to do some research to separate the historical stuff from the fantastical stuff.
Well, I know in my family, anime was a stepping stone for my oldest to be interested in learning Japanese. Mm-hmm. And now he speaks fluent conversational Japanese and earned awesome. Japanese minor in college.
That's awesome.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Jason. So, Jason, it's a brand new year. It's still kind of cold and wintry. So do you prefer hot chocolate, tea, or hot coffee?
Hot chocolate with lots of marshmallows.
Oh, that's the best way to have hot chocolate. And did you make any New Year's resolutions? And if you did, what were they?
I think one of my resolutions is always to do more writing. I love to write. And so is just to, I've kind of actually fallen a little bit behind on my movie reviewing. And so I'm hoping to pick that up. There's a lot of great movies coming out this year, especially I'm a sci-fi and comic book nerd. And so I'm really excited about a lot of movies coming out this year. I'm really hoping to get a lot of writing done about those. There's also a lot of great stuff coming to the small screen via Netflix and Hulu. Netflix, kind of pertinent to what we're talking about, Netflix has made a huge investment in anime, and they've announced a lot of really exciting titles for the next year or two. So I'm always looking forward to getting more writing done about that stuff.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm an introvert.
I know I have yet to ask anyone this question who has said that they were an extrovert. Maybe because mostly writers are introverts. I don't know. How old were you when you became a Christian?
Oh, gosh. I grew up in a very strong Christian family. I think I probably accepted Christ in my life when I was probably 6 or 7. At that age, I didn't really know what I was doing. It was like just something that, you know, I'm in a Christian family. It's what I should do. I go to church every Sunday. So I would say that's probably when I became a Christian, but I don't think Christianity really made sense to me, or I didn't really make it something that I wouldn't say I actually professed Christianity until closer into high school when I actually started really thinking seriously about my faith for the first time and what does all this stuff actually mean that I've been reading the Bible my whole life. I go to church, but why do I actually care about this? And what relevance does it actually have to my life?
I think most parents would be encouraged by that testimony. Well, thanks, Jason, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
My pleasure.
Today's guest is Jason Moorhead, and he wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal. It's called Unpacking Anime's Thematic and Spiritual Depth, and it's free online at our website, equip.org. And to read more cultural apologetics articles, please do subscribe to our journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Anagraph, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. And please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Anagraph, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.